Our gracious and glorious Heavenly Father, we know that you are the God of all majesty. You're the God of creation. You're the God of love and grace and mercy and truth. And Lord, we call upon you today with hearts filled with thanksgiving and praise for what you have accomplished through us. We are unworthy to be used, unworthy to be even called your children, but through your grace and your mercy, you have allowed us to be a part of your kingdom. And more than that, Lord, you have come and you have visited with us. Your presence has been felt as we work together to spread the love of Jesus, to tell people about what you've done and by sending your son to this earth. Lord, today we want you to know that we offer to you as a precious gift our work, our efforts, our sacrifice. We asked you, Lord, a few weeks ago to begin to take our efforts and use them for your glory. And today, Lord, we rejoice that you have done just that. We ask that all of those who came through Journey to Bethlehem would not be so impressed with who we are or what our church has done, but they would be impressed with a God who would send his son to this earth to die for their sins. Lord, we offer you much thanks, much praise, much worship. We rejoice in what you've accomplished through us, dear Lord. I pray that your name would continue to be on the lips of the people who came through this journey. I pray that those CDs that are now in the cars all across this county and this area, I pray that people would still listen to them and would be drawn to the story of Christmas, this babe in a manger who has the power to change their life. Lord, in this Christmas season, we pray that all who came through Journey to Bethlehem would be refreshed in their closeness to you. And if they don't know you, that they would make you the Lord of their life. Lord, we pray that every person would know you as their Lord and their Savior during this Christmas season, that this would be a Christmas season they would never forget. Lord, I thank you for your protection on our cast and crew, protection on all those thousands of cars that came through. Lord, we thank you that no one was hurt. We thank you that everyone was protected, and we thank you that the sets and the production all went well. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you that your presence rested upon us. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory. And it's a privilege to worship and serve you. We ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Heath. Let me just go over a few things that are happening. Hopefully you received a bulletin on your way in today, and you can see there's a lot of events that are upcoming, and I'll just highlight a couple things quickly. Choir members, we will have choir practice today at 4:30 in preparation for the candlelight service next Sunday night, and so just want you to be aware of that rehearsal. And then tonight, Kids Club will be going on. I know schedules have kind of been switched around with the last few weeks, a lot of different things, but Kids Club is in session tonight, and they'll be actually doing some rehearsal for the candlelight service as well. And the new theme starts January the 5th, 2020. Isn't it wild to be saying 2020? Does anybody remember when the year 2000 came and it was Y2K? The whole world was supposed to end. And here we are 20 years later. You know, things are still going. Anyhow, Kids Club tonight. Kids, you'll definitely want to be in on that. And then there is a party tonight. How many of you like parties? And we got some parties going on this week. Tonight is one of them at the Heath's house. It's a Journey to Bethlehem party. Everybody who's involved in Journey to Bethlehem, we want you to come and we'll drink some more hot chocolate together, all right? And we'll just enjoy one another's company and probably share some stories and some things that happen. So that's tonight. My understanding is last year you guys had like, what, 130 people at your house or something? I don't know how you keep your sanity and all that, but that's pretty. So come and we're going to fill their house up tonight and have fun, all right? So it's going to be a great time together. And then this Friday night, there's another party for our teens, ages 12 through college age, Christmas party this Friday night. And you can read some of the details there. Pastor Jeff did want me to mention, though, that there'll be a little gift exchange, and so just something small. He's like, you know, $5 or less. And now this was kind of a new phrase to me, but he said it was like a white elephant gift exchange. Is everybody familiar with that? I guess that's, he was saying you could just like wrap up an old pair of shoes you don't want anymore and give that or something, and throw some candy in there. And I don't know if I want candy. Hopefully the candy's well wrapped if you put it in one of those old shoes. But anyway, just have some fun with that. Be creative, young people, and you might have some fun gifts to give for that exchange this Friday night. This Wednesday, there'll be Christmas caroling. And so there'll be some places we'll be visiting and going and just singing Joy to the World and some of the good classic Christmas carols. And so come and join us. That's all ages. And we'll meet here at the church, and then we will. And so we'll meet here at 6:30. And then we will disperse from there, and we'll kind of, depending on how many we have, we might even split up in two groups. We'll just see how that goes. But please come for that, and we'll go and spread some of the Christmas joy around this area and some key places that we want to visit there. So everything else, I think you can just read in your bulletins. Just note again for upcoming some schedule changes. Christmas Day falls on a Wednesday, so we thought maybe we should lift service on that Wednesday. We weren't sure how many people would come on Christmas Day, so just note that. And then also on New Year's Day, we'll be lifting a Wednesday service on New Year's Day as well. So just keep that in mind. I know many of you will you have plans, be with family, and lots of things going on. And so I just want you to be aware of those schedule changes. So ushers, if you would come at this time. And just want to mention, if you're a guest with us today, this offering is not for you unless you want to put one of those communication cards in there. That would be something that you could do. But this is for our regulars. And so, ushers, go ahead and pass the plates.
Amen. Live for Him, acknowledge Him. For the world we live in doesn't know Him, folks. They don't comprehend. They have no comprehension whatsoever of the goodness of God. But they just open their hearts. That simpleness, childlike faith, trusting. If they're to believe He come to earth for a purpose, and He did, and He died, that we might be set free.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Not weary or tired of the old story. I'm not tired of the Christmas story.
That's right. Yes.
Lord, without it, we would have no hope.
That's right.
But I appreciate this morning. And my hope's resting in Him.
Amen.
He helped me through these days I live on earth, but I'm looking for a far superior place.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
That's
I appreciate
right.
it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else with a word of praise this morning? That's a good point about getting to know each other better during JTB. You might get referred to as your costume name this week, Mary or Joseph or King Herod or something. So, amen. I was feeling out of breath before the offering. Now I really feel out of breath. All the flute playing there, but good job, Abby and Emily. And I was thinking, parents, if your kids are in lessons, it's a good investment, and be encouraged. I know sometimes the extra money or the practice time can be stressful, but hang in there on that point. I too want to highlight a couple things from the bulletin. Next Sunday morning, we will be taking our annual Pastor's Christmas Love Offering. So you can be planning ahead towards that, and we'll have a few more words to say about that next week. Also in our bulletin, maybe some of you have noticed, we've been putting what the upcoming offerings are going to be for. So like at the beginning of January, we'll have a section in there that tells you week one, week two, week three. And it's easy to forget. And sometimes there's changes and interruptions, and I personally, as treasurer, don't always remember what's what. So it's very helpful to put that in the bulletin. That way you can be planning and thinking ahead on the offerings. Just a couple positive notes. The missions offering for the blacks. Didn't you appreciate that service 2 weeks ago? How encouraging that was. There was, it says in the bulletin, 1,262. There was actually another $1,000 that came in that was designated toward their vehicle purchase on the slideshow. So thank the Lord for that. We had many pledge cards that came in. There was $215 a month pledged from you guys. So thank you for your giving to them. And I think Christina said that everything on those pledge cards was going to be matched. Someone had told her that day that they would match that. So just from you guys, that was about 8.5% of their monthly goal. Update on the CCA offering, there was an additional $100 that came in for that since that offering. And our regular, we take up the monthly offering for missions. And as you know, I've mentioned before, that's been a little bit low. And so I save it for 3 months and then send it off to the blacks, the Meltons, and the Coons. But I feel like that's not a big problem because I know that you guys are giving monthly. That never comes through the church. For example, the pledges to the blacks. And I'm assuming some of us give towards the Coons or the Meltons every month as well. And so thank you so much for your giving. And again, next Sunday morning will be our pastors, the Heaths, the Maters, and the Paulus's Christmas bonus offering. Thank you.
Thank you, Davey. Appreciate it. He does a fine job as a treasurer and a lot of work and does excellent work. I want to sing a song for you that I'm sure will be familiar. I grew up hearing my dad sing this one. It's special to me. It's entitled, O Holy Night.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, holy night.
Thank you for that wonderful song, Pastor Mike. And when Pastor Mike came, part of his responsibility is to work with Janet on the music schedule. But don't think that he's just putting himself on there to sing solos every once in a while.
Is ready to fill in, and we had a switch, and he filled in wonderfully. Thank you for singing that. That song almost made it into the last scene of Journey to Bethlehem. It was one of the ones that we were considering as we were putting all that together, and I'm glad we could hear it again this Christmas time. Amen. I want to tell you one thing about Journey to Bethlehem before I get into the message today. Earlier this week, I think it was on Thursday, I was working through a lot of the stuff that needs to be done, and part of it was collecting all the receipts. Probably some of you may have some receipts to turn in or whatever. If we sent you to the store last minute to pick up supplies or whatever. I had a whole stack of them. I'm getting them ready to turn into our treasurer and all that kind of stuff. And I had this thought, you know, Lord, it seems like we have spent a lot this year on different aspects of Journey to Bethlehem. If I have it correctly, we spent somewhere around $2,000 on hot chocolate this year. I don't think we've ever spent that much on hot chocolate. That's a lot of hot chocolate. There's other expenses, and I was going through some of that, and I thought, oh, Lord, wow, this is a lot of money. And I knew it was worth it, and I was rejoicing in what God had done. But now you're at the point where you're trying to put it all back together, and I'm turning in these receipts, and I just stopped and I prayed and I said, Lord, would it be possible for you to have someone just come alongside us and give us, you know, $1,000 or $5,000? I didn't tell the Lord exactly an amount, but I think I mentioned $1,000 to him. And I said, Lord, that would be encouraging, because sometimes you wrestle with these questions. Is it really worth it? We know it's worth it. We had 7,000 whatever people come through, and people heard the gospel, and we're following up on some that prayed and all that kind of stuff. But is it worth it? I mean, all this money, all this expenses. I got done praying about it, went back to what I was doing, and I happened to get in my car just a few moments later. And in less than an hour, I was handed a check for $1,000 for Journey to Bethlehem. And I tell you that not to tell you, hey, we have plenty of money and, you know, we got money in the bank or whatever. I just want you to know that as pastor and having done it for 6 years now, I still believe that God is smiling on this ministry that we're doing. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of money. But I have seen the hand of God on it. And he gets the honor. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. And God just kind of reminded me once again, hey, I'm still God. I'm still going to take care of it. We haven't failed to pay for it yet, and God is helping us. So hopefully that's an encouragement to you. I know it's an encouragement to Davey, because I have a $1,000 check to give him today when I turn in all my other receipts. But I know that God is going to use all of your efforts. And by the way, the party tonight after the evening service, Pastor Mike's going to be speaking to us tonight, and then following service, all of you are invited to the parsonage. In fact, not just even if you were able to volunteer for Journey to Bethlehem. Some of you prayed for JTB. Some of you helped in some of the work days. Some of you, maybe you're at a stage of life you're not able to help very much. All of you are invited. We want to invite the whole church to Journey to Bethlehem party tonight. And it's just a Christmas party, a lot of fun and fellowship, and we'll have a great time together. And so make sure you bring a healthy appetite with you to church. And then pray for Pastor Mike that he won't preach too long. So that'll be great. I'm just kidding. I love Christmas. I look forward to this time of the year. There's a lot of memories that we have as humans and as experiences that we've had as kids. I love the sights of Christmas. I love the lights of Christmas. I like going through the neighborhood and seeing who puts up lights and how it all is arranged. I have noticed the last couple of years, many of our neighbors out here have been putting up more and more lights. And I don't know if they're starting a competition or whatever, but I think they're proud of what's happening with Journey to Bethlehem. And so that's great. I enjoy that. I did notice, Tim Lilly, that your neighbors have gone all out this year. And when you turn off of Cunningham onto Old Imbler, man, there's a lot of lights there. It's pretty spectacular. So I don't know what your plans are for your yard there. I know you've been working hard for Journey to Bethlehem, Tim, but you probably need to do something in your yard or something. I don't know. Anyway, I enjoy all that kind of stuff. I like looking at what people do in their yards. I like the music of Christmas. I love Journey to Bethlehem. I love the excitement. I love it that our kids are involved in all these scenes. It's pretty exciting. I love presents. Who doesn't like presents? I like giving presents. I like giving gifts. To me, that's enjoyable. I like all the gatherings and the hustle and bustle of, you're not going to believe this, but at Christmas time at least, I like the hustle and bustle of shopping. You know, you go to these stores and they've got Christmas music playing. And by the way, did I say I like Christmas music? I really like that. And people are out and there's people on the roads and it's just an exciting time to be alive. It's festive. There's a lot of decorations and there's Christmas music. Did I mention that before? I really love Christmas music. And then you get Christmas letters from friends that you haven't seen in a long time. How many like getting those letters? You know, the update letters that says, my son is an honor student and my daughter graduated. You know, all this, you know, those letters. I ran across a letter I thought was kind of interesting. It's actually a mother-in-law letter. It's probably unlike any Christmas letter you've ever gotten, but she wrote this letter to her son at Christmas time, and it has become an expected tradition. She said, "Dear darling son," and that person that you married, "Merry Christmas to you, and please don't worry about me. I'm just fine, considering I haven't had much to eat lately, and I can hardly breathe right now. The important thing is that you have a nice holiday thousands of miles away from your ailing mother. I've sent along my last $10 in this card, which I hope you'll spend on my grandchildren. The Lord knows their mother never buys them anything nice. They look so thin in their pictures, poor babies. Thank you so much for the Christmas flowers, dear boy. I put them in the freezer so they'll stay fresh for placement on my grave." Which reminds me, we buried grandmother last week. I know she died years ago, but I got a yearning for a good funeral, so Aunt Viola and I dug up her remains and had a service all over again. Can you imagine having her for mother-in-law? She said, "I would have invited you, but I know that the woman that you live with would have never let you come anyway. So just let you know that we had the service again. Well, son, it's time for me to crawl off to bed now. I lost my cane last week, beating off the muggers who had attacked me in my house. But don't you worry about me. I'm getting used to the cold since they've turned off my heat and electricity. But I'm grateful because the frost on my bed actually numbs the constant pain that I'm dealing with. Now, don't even think about sending money to me because I know you need it for those expensive family vacations that you take every year. Give my love to my darling grandbabies and my regards to whatever her name is, the lady that you live with, who stole you screaming from my side so many years ago. Merry Christmas. Love, Mom." I don't know if you like to get letters like that in the mail. Hopefully you've never gotten one quite like that. But Christmas is a time for all kinds of excitement and traditions. And the truth is, most people love Christmas. Not maybe that lady, but most people love Christmas. And unless there's been some particularly difficult tragedy, most people look forward to Christmas. There's good memories. In fact, down through the years, people, at least in our culture here in the United States, we have loved Christmas so much that we've talked about it and we've written songs about it and we've created stories about it and we make up traditions that all are centered around the Christmas season. You know, the traditions of Santa Claus and the reindeer and the elves and the North Pole and all those things and Christmas angels and Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life, and all those things. One of the reasons I like Christmas is because at Christmas time, I hear playing on radio stations, you can scan through your radio dial, even on the secular stations, I hear songs that talk about Jesus. To me, I find that encouraging, that in the midst of our secular world, there are people who still can celebrate the reason for the season. I don't know if you have watched the Charlie Brown Christmas, the animated feature that is aired every year. In fact, it was first produced in 1965.
And I've never been a huge Charlie Brown fan, but in the midst of that Christmas special, that animated classic, there is a point where Linus tells Charlie Brown about the true meaning of Christmas, that Jesus was indeed born as a babe in a manger, and he came to this earth to be the Savior of the world. When it was released in December of 1965, the producers at CBS, the network executives, expected it to be a disaster. But it has aired on public television every year since 1965, sometimes twice and three times during the year. Why is that? Because our hearts resonate with the story of Christmas. Speaking of music, the soundtrack for Charlie Brown and then that Christmas story has sold more than 4 million copies. That's how much that has resonated with people. But most secular media and most department stores and all the decorations that you see out and about are centered not really around the Christ child. They're centered around the snow and the Santa and the other Christmas themes. And sometimes I get a little weary of that. Sometimes I wish that there were more manger scenes. Sometimes I wish Merry Christmas was more evident. But the truth is, we live in a society that still celebrates Christmas. And we have the freedom to do that. All these Christmas traditions that people create, you know, we do this on Christmas Day, we do this on Christmas Eve, we go here, we do that. There's nothing wrong with any of those traditions. And by way of disclaimer, if you have children that you have told that Santa Claus is truly real, this is your chance to put your hands over their ears for just a second. Even the story of Santa and all of that kind of stuff, there's nothing wrong with it. It's tradition. It's stories. One of the weirdest traditions of Christmas to me is not necessarily Santa Claus. It's probably, in my mind, it's the creepiest tradition ever invented. It's the elf on the shelf. Anybody do that? Do you want to raise your hand? You may not want to. I can just imagine little children being told this story, how the elf, when you're asleep, he wakes up and he moves to different places in the house, and he's always watching. And I can imagine these kids just looking up with one eye, trying to keep it awake while they're watching the elf on the shelf. I'm not against all that. Don't say Pastor Heath is a Scrooge or something like that. I mean, after all, we live in a society where Google is listening to our words every single day, so I guess we should be used to that. But my fear is this, and I want to give all of us a caution. There is a danger that when we elevate all the other Christmas traditions that there's nothing wrong with, fun stuff, festive stuff, lights, hot chocolate, all that, when we elevate that to the level of the true Christmas story, when the story of Jesus is on the same plane as the story of Santa and the reindeer, or whatever Christmas movie is popular this year, the danger is our children think that Jesus is just another story. And he's not. And what I want to tell you, and this is a simple message this morning, what I want to tell you, and I want every young person to listen when I say these words, Jesus really did come to earth. And he was miraculously born as a babe in a manger. That's not just a tradition. It's not just a story. It's not just something that they make songs about or movies about. That is the truth of what really happened. And if he had not come as a babe in a manger, our lives would be without hope and without peace. Jesus came to this earth. He died for your sins and mine. Mary was really visited by an angel. As just a young girl, she had this explosive experience where an angel came to her and said, "You have been chosen by God." What an awesome, incredible opportunity she had to be the birth mother of our Savior. Joseph really did have a dream. And in that dream, there was an angel who showed him that it was okay. That even though Mary was expecting and he knew it was not the right thing, that little baby that was growing inside of her womb was not there because of any illicit relationship she had had. It was there because the divine providence of God had planted that so she would give birth to the Messiah. Joseph would not have done what he did if he did not hear from God about that. I want to tell you this morning that the shepherds really did see an angel in that field. They were there doing what they always did, sleeping with their sheep. They were stinky, they were dirty, they were the low end of society. And yet on that hillside, an angel appeared to them and a host appeared with that angel, and they watched those angels singing glory to God in the highest. No one else is going to watch that happen until we get to heaven someday. To watch angels worshiping God must have been an incredible experience. That's not just a story, young people. It truly happened. Not only that, there were wise men who saw a star appear in the east. The moment that Jesus was born to this earth, a star appeared. And it took them 2 years to journey from their homes. It took them all kinds of expense. I don't know if you know this, but the wise men had to take off work. They had to collect their life savings. They had to put it in a box, you know, and spend it money on the myrrh and the gold and the frankincense. We sang about it today. It's not just a story. It's not just a tradition. Those wise men appeared on the horizon with their camels, probably. I don't know. That may be a tradition. Those wise men came to that little place where Jesus had been growing for 2 years. He was just a little toddler. And those stoic men from the east who had incredible wealth, they knelt before this little child and they bestowed unto him gifts. What an incredible moment of worship it must have been for Mary and Joseph to watch this happening to their little son. That really happened. This is a Christmas, not tradition or story. This is a Christmas reality for you and for me. And this morning, I don't have a big sermon series to preach to you. I don't have a catchy sermon title to share with you. This morning, I just want to read from Scripture some key verses that we need to be reminded of, that tell us this is not just a story. This is the reality of Christmas. You can turn if you want to, or there's going to be several verses, so you may want to just listen. But these are encouraging to you and I. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 is where we'll start. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. That's an interesting way to start a story. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, say it with me, Emmanuel, God with us. The God of the universe comes to us. Luke chapter 1, a couple of verses, verses 30 and 33. The angel appears to Mary, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Emmanuel is his title, God with us. Jesus is the name that they would call him. Verse 32, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We know that they're talking about a spiritual heavenly kingdom. We know that, but they didn't know that. They thought they were going to take over the Romans. They thought that the Messiah had come as some kind of victor to expunge all of the Roman soldiers and the atrocities of the Roman Empire. But the reason that Jesus came was so much higher than that. He was here to push aside the darkness of sin and to create a kingdom of light in which to reign. Then Isaiah chapter 9, Pastor Mike read this verse already this morning. But this is really, really important to think about. The prophet Isaiah says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is born. Is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. And he lists several more names: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. His name is to be Jesus, not something that Joseph came up with, something that God came up with, Jesus. He is to be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are all the descriptions of this little babe who was born in a manger. When a baby is born, by the way, you may have noticed in your bulletin, we had a baby born this week. And congratulations to the Wodes. I don't think they're here this morning, but they're probably back there translating where they're supposed to be. Congratulations to them, a new grandbaby. When a baby is born, you use this description. You say, to this mother and to this father, a baby was born. The Heaths had a baby many years ago. Not now. Hopefully not ever again. But anyway, earlier this year, the Maiders had a baby. That's pretty special. And when you list the details of the baby, you talk about the parents. This father and this mother had a baby. Unto them, if you want to use that term, a baby was born. Think about what the prophet Isaiah is saying here. He's saying there's a baby who is going to be born, but he's not going to be born to Joseph and Mary necessarily. I mean, they were their earthly mother and father. But the baby is born unto us. The problem with growing up in the church, the problem with all of that is we know these passages of Scripture. We've heard them over and over and over again. And it's a good thing. They're memorized, some of them. And we've heard this phrase, for unto us a child is born. In fact, if you know anything about Christmas music, which I love Christmas music, have I mentioned that yet in the sermon? Handel's Messiah takes this passage and makes a beautiful musical statement. And every time I read this verse, I think of this phrase, unto us a child is born, the Handel's Messiah phrase. But think about this. Jesus is not born to an earthly mother and father. Jesus is not born into just a family. Jesus is born for you and for me. Unto us a child is born. It's not a birth announcement in the Bethlehem paper that just says Mary and Joseph had a kid. The birth announcement happened hundreds of years before, and it said the world, the entire human race has a son, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Young people, I want you to know this really happened. In fact, it was foretold 700 years before it actually happened. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, tells us about the wise men. This is the truth. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And my mind goes to the music again. When they saw, you know, that whole phrase. Why have we put all of these phrases and these verses to music? Because they're so meaningful. It's not just a tradition. It's not just something we experience at Christmas time. It's not just something to make a movie about. It really happened. The wise men saw the star and it changed their life. That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. If you go over to Luke chapter 2, verse 10, you'll see the passage where the angel is appearing to the shepherds. And the angel said unto them, do not be afraid, for I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just Mary and Joseph. All people. For there is born unto you. Not unto Mary and Joseph. Not unto this, just to the city of Bethlehem. But there is born unto you, all of us, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This phrase that keeps popping up, unto us a child is born, born unto you shepherds, it is giving us this picture of ownership that Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger is totally different than any baby that was ever born before or since. He was born at the hand of a divine God who said, I want my son to come to this earth and to assume on himself the form of humanity, because I have a job for him to do. Just a couple more verses I want to share with you, and these are familiar. John, the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14. This is part of the way that the Apostle John starts his epistle. He says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The shepherds beheld his glory. The wise men beheld his glory. We who walked with Jesus, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, the God, the eternal divine being was made flesh. Wow. This is what happened. And then I'm reminded of the passage in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The reason he came. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the present of God that he presented to all of creation, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ can be our Lord. Isn't that a phrase that sometimes we take for granted? Jesus Christ can forgive us of our sins. Jesus Christ can erase the penalty of the sins of our life. The wages of our sin is death, but Jesus Christ gives us the ability to have eternal life. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, we read that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and on things under the earth. Every knee shall bow before this babe in a manger. This is not just another story like Santa Claus. This is not just another Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer story. This is the eternal God of creation sending his son to be in a position where he will be worshiped by every single human being on this planet. Incredible. But I will tell you, as familiar as the Christmas story is, if I were God, I think I would have done it a little bit different. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Think about this. I was thinking about this earlier as I was preparing on looking at all these verses. If I were God, I don't think I would have sent Jesus as a baby. A baby who is dependent on his parents, on his mother. A baby who is just helpless. If I was a God and I was going to send a savior to rescue my people and to set up an earthly kingdom, I would have sent a warrior or a soldier. You know, maybe back then riding on a horse, or maybe in our day and age, you know, with a jet fighter or something. I would have sent Jesus as a savior with a sword and a spear and some kind of weaponry or weapons of mass destruction even. Say, hey, God wanted me to come and change our world, and here I am. Listen to me. But I'm not God. And instead, he sent him as a helpless baby. If I were God, I probably would not have picked a teenager to carry the baby. Have you talked to teenagers recently? We have a lot of great teenagers here, but I remember when I was a teenager, and I don't think I was ready for much responsibility at all when I was a teenager. In fact, getting my license was probably a mistake, at least in our neck of the woods in Alabama where I grew up. Teenagers have lots of questions, but they also think they have lots of answers too. And think about this, Mary, as a teenager, I don't know how young she was. Someone said she's as young as 13 when she was betrothed to Joseph. She had no experience. She had never raised a child before. She had never changed a diaper before. She had never taken care of an infant before. She had never given birth before. And there were no hospitals. There wasn't any blood pressure monitoring things. There was no ultrasound. There was none of those technological advances that we have today. Wow, God in his divine providence chose a girl, an unexperienced, never given birth before girl, to bring his son into this world. Incredible. If I were God, just thinking about this Christmas story, I would not have sent my son to live in such a common family. Mary and Joseph were poor. It's probably all the taxes they had to pay. I don't know. Mary and Joseph lived a very rough life. Joseph was a tradesman. He was barely making enough money to survive. He was at the bottom end, maybe not as bad as the shepherds, but he was at the bottom end of the social stratosphere of that day. He wasn't a part of the elite. He wasn't part of the wealthy. Which meant that Jesus would grow up in a home where he had to do chores. Think about that. Jesus grew up in a home where he had to learn a trade. And for 30 years, Jesus lived his life as a poor, simple human being. One of the most descriptive passages of Scripture is where we find Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a car or a way of transportation. He had to borrow a donkey to make his entrance into Jerusalem, the grand Palm Sunday entrance. Jesus was poor. I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have picked the nicest palace in the land. I would have picked a place where you had servants to wait on him hand and foot. I would have picked a place where when Jesus was born, there would be messengers who could ride out into the far reaches of the empire to let people know a king has been born. But I'm not God. Instead of having my son be born in a house where he had to use his hands and make tables and chairs and nail things together and cut things, I would have had a son born in a place where he could be waited on hand and foot, as every king should be. But think about this. Jesus probably knows what it's like to hit his thumb with a hammer. Jesus knows what it's like to get up early with his father, with a whole list of things that had to be done. And by the time that day is over, Jesus knows what it's like to be weary and tired and worn out because he's worked so hard. He goes to sleep knowing he's worked a hard day and he's got to do it again the next day. If I were God, I would have not had Jesus be born in a barn. Smelly, unclean, animals. I would have had Jesus be born in a clean and sterile environment with nurses and doctors and technology around. I would have selected a place that was far, far away from the noise of the animals and the smell of the animals. I would have had him born in a place filled with expensive things, not common things. If I were God, that's the way I would have done it. You probably would have too. But we're not God. And if I were God, I most definitely would not have sent my son to die. I can't imagine. I love my family. You love your family. I love my children. You love your children. And even on the worst days when they aggravate you the most, there's still no way that I'd want them to die. God sent his son to die. That's the truth and the reality of the Christmas story. Surely there was another way to provide atonement for sin. Surely there was another way to provide salvation for humanity. God, in his sovereign ability and his understanding of the universe that he created, he chose to send his son as a babe in a manger, to live in a barn for a while, to live a very common life, so eventually he could grow up and die for your sins and for mine. That's incredible. But that's the reality of what God did. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, this familiar passage, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why he came. Salvation is for us. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a savior is born. The Bible's very clear that you and I are not God. And even though we can't understand God, we do know why he did what he did. He sent his son, and I know we become so familiar with this, we lose the awe of it. We become so familiar with all of these aspects and these verses of the Christmas story, we lose the reality that God the Father sent his son ultimately to die for you and for me. Young people who are sitting here today, teenagers and even younger, don't forget that this Christmas season is not just about all the traditions and the music and the lights and the festivities. Young people, I want you to know there is a Savior who wants you to understand the realities of serving him. He came to die. Older people, myself included, let us not get so comfortable with all of our traditions, be they good or be they secular, I don't know. Let us not become so comfortable that we don't take a moment to realize that our God sent his son to die for you and for me. That's the reason for the season. That's the reason for the Christmas story. Would you stand with me today? I would like to close in prayer, but as we pray, I want you to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God as well. If you know the joy of having your sins forgiven, then you know the joy of this Savior being the Lord of your life. And we should praise him. It should be at the tip of our tongue through this Christmas season. If you're here this morning and you love Christmas, but you've never been confronted with the reality of why Jesus came, can I tell you that Jesus Christ came for you and me and you and you and you and everyone in our world today? He came to die for your sins and mine to give us the hope of heaven someday. Let's rejoice in that as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. We thank you for this great season that we call Christmas. We thank you for all the traditions. We thank you for all the food and the lights and the festivities and the music and all the stuff that we enjoy. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die. We don't understand it. It boggles our mind when we really study it. We can't really put our mind around exactly the reasoning behind all the things that you did. All we know is you sent your son to die, so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we rejoice in that today. We praise you for that today. And I pray that as we go through the rest of this Christmas season, just a week and a half before Christmas, I pray that we would continue to meditate on this fact that unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and you can be our Savior and our Lord. Lord, we praise you for all you've done. We thank you for Journey to Bethlehem. We thank you for this good crowd here this morning. May your name be glorified in all we do, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed. May the Lord bless you. And we'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, and then the party afterwards. Lord bless you.